We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have our four regular competitors of the game. And as usual, I'm going to ask them if they can speak for just a minute on the subject that I will give them, and if they can do it without hesitation, without repetition, or without deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the subject is excitement, something that you generate a great deal of, and now will you talk about in just a minute, starting now.
The greatest excitement was surely generated when Blondin crossed Niagara Falls and on a second attempt did it blindfolded, then with a man on his shoulders, and later with stilts. Surely the breathless people watching, agape, amazed, were excited. Excited beyond any ordinary performer's vibrations or whatever it is you would give off in causing that kind of excitement. I mean, I'm at a loss even to describe the kind of thrill, the frisson.
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Well, yes, he's not at a loss, is he?
Yes, what a difficult challenge. Yes, he's not at a loss to describe it, because normally he would be at a loss, but he has to keep going in just a minute, so therefore he has to overcome those difficulties. Therefore, I would say he was not deviating from the subject of excitement. In fact, he was demonstrating it admirably. And Kenneth, a wrong challenge. You get a point for that, of course, and there are 23 seconds left. Excitement starting now.
Great excitement, of course, is always generated.
Clement Freud.
Of course. Repetition of...
Yes, you did say, of course, before, I'm afraid. Clement Freud, you have a point for a correct challenge and 20 seconds on excitement starting now.
Of course, what excites me more than almost anything else is sitting next to Kenneth Williams and feeling him throb. He actually vibrates and his jacket goes in and out, up and down, through and along, away and asunder. And it is a tremendous joy for me to have this fine actor.
Oh, what...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever's speaking at that moment gets the extra point. It was Clement Freud, who's in the lead, of course, at the end of that round. Derek Nimmo, will you begin the next round? And the subject is operating a gondola, starting now.
Well, I haven't actually operated a gondola, but I have...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
I would definitely agree, Peter. There are 55 and one-half seconds for operating a gondola with you starting now.
Well, if you're thinking of taking up the operation of a gondola, my advice is don't do it in Venice, because there are far too many there already. The best place to attempt this venture would probably be Crewe or some other place where they don't have much glamour or anything of any great interest.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, they haven't got much water in it.
Peter, I don't think you were, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject on the card, so you continue, having got an extra point. A point for a wrong challenge, and there are 36 seconds left starting now.
Perhaps the Thames would be a good place to start it, because one could go across...
Derek Nimmo.
Well, to operate a gondola, you've got to stick a pole in, haven't you? Wouldn't it be rather...
No, you haven't. It's an oar. You don't stick a... It's a punt.
You stick your oar in, do you?
That's right. No, it's the oaring. I'm sorry, this is very good on radio, all this demonstration that I'm giving. No, a wrong challenge, I'm afraid, Derek. 32 seconds are left, Peter, operating a gondola starting now.
You could get...
Hesitation.
Yes, that's what happens when you're interrupted twice running so rapidly. 31 seconds are left for you on operating a gondola, Clement, starting now.
I think there's nothing more exciting or memorable than watching a Venetian gondolier operating his boat... or gondola, because it's on the card, I can say it again. They travel at enormous speed with such skill and dexterity.
Peter Jones challenge.
Well, they don't travel at enormous speed.
They do, actually, yes.
I think they travel at enormous speed for a boat, but not at enormous speed.
Well, not for Concorde, I mean.
No. That's one of those things, it's very difficult to judge.
To
so when I have an impossible judgment to make, I always put it to the superior wisdom of our very intelligent-looking audience. So will you judge, and if you agree with the challenge that they don't operate at speed, then you cheer for
enormous.
Peter Jones.
Enormous.
Enormous speed, yes. And if you think that they do operate at enormous speed, then you boo for Clement Freud, but you all do it together now.
Boo.
Think gondolas operate at enormous speed. They're obviously speaking from experience. All their wet feet, they just come from Venice. Clement, you have the decision of the audience. You get a point, and the subject still 17 seconds, starting now.
Most gondoliers look extraordinarily like Derek Nimmo.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Preposition of gondolier.
That is right, Derek. He said it before. 15 seconds are left with you, starting now.
In Kashmir, they have a boat called a shakira, which looks very like a gondola. And it's operated in much the same way. A man is with an oar in the back of the boat and rows along very gently through these lovely lotus-ridden lakes beneath the gardens of Shalimar. To me, this is the most heavenly and perfect way of being transported.
Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went. He gained that extra point, but he's in third place, just behind Peter Jones and Clement Freud in the lead. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is Thebes. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
The ancient Greek...
Hesitation, the ancient Greek.
The ancient yes, what a pity. There are 58 seconds on Thebes with you, Derek Nimmo, starting now.
Oedipus Rex, telling of the great story of the famine in Thebes. I went to see the lovely theatre at Epidaurus last summer, and sitting in this 14,000 capacity amphitheatre, one saw the great Sophocles drama unfold in front of one, the ancient Thebians wandering amidst the...
Peter Jones's challenge.
A repetition of ancient...
Yes, that is right. Well, listen, Peter, 41 seconds are left for the subject of Thebes, starting now.
The citizens of ancient Thebes were being eaten by the Sphinx, and it was only when Oedipus guessed the...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of Oedipus.
That is right. Yes, I'm afraid so.
But there was a time before when I mentioned Oedipus.
Ah, but you mustn't mention it twice. Somebody else can mention it, but you mustn't mention it.
I know, but they
twice.
Wouldn't have known who I was. Listeners switching on in the middle. They wouldn't know what I was talking about.
What about the few who'd switched off after the first effort? No,
well,
I'm afraid, Peter...
I can't account for them.
No, but I have to try and listen, and you said it before, and Clement picked it up. There are 32 and a half seconds on Thebes, Clement, starting now.
Thebes was where Luxor is now, which is down the Nile and along a bit.
Peter Jones's challenge.
Actually, it's up the Nile.
Do you go up the Nile or down the Nile?
Well, it's between Aswan and Cairo, and therefore, as I haven't nominated where I was looking from...
No, it's one of those things, what's up
yeah,
and what's down.
Yeah, but from the Paris Regent Street, it's up...
He still hasn't nominated it. I think it's one of those things that we don't just haven't established anything, so we won't charge any points for or against. And
oh,
say that
come
we...
on.
No.
Well, then Clement, I won't go on talking.
You keep the subject.
No, he can have the subject. I'm not going to get a point too much.
Keep,
vague
keep
or challenge.
The subject.
It wasn't vague or challenge.
No.
Kenneth will take the subject.
You have, are you giving it to Kenneth on Thebes? All right, there are 26 seconds for you, Kenneth, on Thebes, starting now.
Well, of course, it was the home, was it not, of Tutankhamun. And he came over here for the British exhibition. I believe it was at the museum.
Peter James's challenge.
Tutankhamun never came over here.
Never came over here.
What came over here, then?
His mummy.
His mummy.
What?
His mummy.
Well, isn't that him?
No, not his mummy or his daddy.
It's
his mummy.
You can't have his mummy if he ain't in it, can you?
No. The way you were speaking, we felt he'd come over. It was a very good challenge of Peter's. Peter, I agree with your challenge. You have 15 seconds on Thebes, starting now.
Get your gondola and take a trip up the Nile.
Ken, there's a challenge.
Well, I mean, it's deviation. There are simply no gondolas on the Nile. That is an established fact. Steamboats, there may be. There may be a few dhows. Quite a few dhows, in fact. I've seen more dhows than you've had hot dinners.
Repetition of dhows.
Repetition of dhows. No, he was suggesting that you take your gondola, and he was going to go up or down the Nile to see Thebes. There are 12.5 seconds on Thebes, Peter, with you starting now.
Well, you can swim up the Nile as far as I'm concerned, but at any rate, go there.
Derek Nimmo's
chart. Repetition of Nile.
Yes, he's been up the Nile too much. 8 seconds are left on Thebes with you, Derek, starting now.
And so, when Jocasta learned, in fact, that she was the mother of her husband, she killed herself, and the king of Thebes...
Well, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud all got points in that round. Peter and Clement are equal in the lead, 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams is trailing a little. Clement, would you begin the next round? The subject is the most exacting dish to cook. Can you tell us something from your culinary experience about that, starting now?
I suppose one of the most exacting dishes to cook would be a shepherd's pie using a real, live man who looks after sheep. And inspired by this, I tried the other day to order cabinet pudding in the House of Commons restaurant, and unfortunately found it to contain absolutely none of the people for whom I don't much care. Quenelle of sole Nantois is a pretty exacting dish to cook because you need the raw fish and a hair sieve and a stone or palette or utensil of some kind with which you press the one through the other. You do it over ice and add the whites of eggs and double cream and then poach the resultant mass in a liquor containing white wine, onion, shallot, thyme, bay leaves, marjoram.
I'm sorry. Oh, come on. And Peter Jones challenged?
Hesitation.
Yes, and deviation. Oh, come on. And you only had 2 more seconds.
It was so boring. Really.
I was fascinated. I want to rush home and do it. Cook the meals, you see. half a second to go on the most exacting dish to cook, Peter, with you, starting now.
When I'm...
Clement Freud challenged with 1/4 a second to go.
Hesitation, I thought.
No, I don't think it was quite hesitation. No. So you still have 1/4 a second, Peter, to try and tell us about the most exacting dish to cook,
yes,
starting
well,
now.
Yes, well, cooking the books is probably the
now you go. So with a little help from Clement Freud there, Peter Jones increased his lead at the end of that round. Kenneth, we're back with you, and would you tell us something about Salome, the dancer, starting now?
She was the daughter of Herodias, and at her mother's instigation, she did the dance of the 7 veils. Each one was supposed to represent a day of the week. On Monday, of course, it was early closing, so she never got it really finished in time. She is not a lady who enjoys much prestige in the world. People rather tend to look down on her. She was a disgusting creature when you really come right down to... I suppose I said down twice, but none of you have recognized her.
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Well, he said down 3 times.
Yeah. Kenneth, you want to keep going. They sometimes don't notice it. Derek, you have the subject of Salome the dancer, and there are 33 seconds left starting
this
now.
This divine creature immortalized by Oscar Wilde. Having completed her dance, she then, at her mother's instigation, was given a choice of a gift.
Kenneth Williams.
Repetition, I've already said it. Her mother's instigation. Those were my exact words. Yes, you've repeated my phrase. You've taken the words out of my mouth. He doesn't know where they've been.
But he's allowed to repeat the words that you say, but he mustn't repeat any words that he says.
Oh, you're making these rules as you go along. He's not allowed to do something else.
They've been the rules ever since the show first started. And you've been in it since it first started. And you don't look a day older, either. Derek, a wrong challenge. So you keep the subject. There are 23 seconds on Salome the dancer, starting now.
Salome the dancer worked on the pier at Clacton-on-Sea. It was a lovely little act that was brought over from Belgium, especially for the summer season of 64. She also waggled her great enormous belly, and I sit her on a deckchair and chair with all the other people every time lovely Salome came on and showed her 65.
So Derek Nimmo kept going with great panache on Salome and got the point for speaking as the whistle went. He's now 1 point behind a leader who's still Peter Jones. Clement Freud's a little behind him, and Kenneth is still trailing a lot. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Fiji. Will you tell us something about Fiji in just a minute, starting now?
Quite my favourite of all the South Pacific islands, a land filled with waving palms and rocky, craggy mountains, and, of course, the Fijian people themselves. Most of the population are Indian, but half of them are of native Fiji stock. And when I was last there... Oh, bless you.
What was your deviation?
Well, if most of them are one thing, half of them can't be the other.
A very good challenge, yes. And that Fijian erupted in the audience at that moment. And, Clement, you have a correct challenge, and there are 42 seconds on Fiji starting now.
One of the slightly off-putting things about Fiji is that it's very near the international date line. And when you go there, you're never quite sure whether it's Tuesday or Wednesday, or they've got it wrong and it was Friday afternoon. When the Fijians came over here to play rugby football, many of us found them to be one of the most entertaining, attacking rugby sides we'd ever come across. Rugby football has a hyphen. Rugby is written on its own.
No, not a hyphen.
No, yes. rugby football.
Rugby
football. Trying to justify yourself, Troy, because you made a bomb.
They don't bother with the chairman. They just play the game between them. They're shouting across the floor at each other. Derek, I don't have to ask you, because I know what the challenge was, and you have 19 seconds on Fiji, starting now.
When I landed at Nandi a couple of weeks ago, I was given the most wonderful lei. It was of most beautiful colour, put round my neck by this girl who was wearing only a grass skirt. And I thought, what a beautiful place to come to.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
That's the second beautiful.
Yes, it was indeed. There are 4 seconds for Fiji with you, Clement, starting now.
Particularly their open side wing forward who worked the ball.
Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. He's moving forward. He's only 1 point behind Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, who are now equal in the lead. Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject is woodworm. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Actually, I know quite a lot about woodworm. They're terrible things if they get into the furniture, and particularly if you've got a wooden leg. It can, though I suppose I shouldn't really have said that, because it may give offence. But anyway, if people are hurt by it...
Kenneth is a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I know. He troubled himself more than the people who might have been troubled by that, Peter. There are 47 seconds left for woodworm with you, Kenneth, starting now.
It is easy to recognise the work of these termites because there are tiny holes left by their entry and exit, so to speak, out of the timber. If the work is of an antique nature, you would be best employed to get an expert in and have him give you his opinion as to the best kind of...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of best.
Yes, you said best, best advised and the best... whatever it was. 24 seconds are left for you on woodworm, Clement, starting now.
A woodworm really is one of the most exacting dishes to cook. You get the thing and you put it through a sieve with a stone or pestle and then boil it...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
I think you wouldn't need to put it through a sieve, they'd drop through it.
I suppose you still could put them through the sieve even though they were dropped through a sieve. And maybe that's the way Clement Freud cooks. If he cooks woodworm, no telling what he might do. He wasn't, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject.
Oh, he was rambling. It's absolute rubbish.
Of course he was. As much rubbish as some of you others talk on occasions. But, Clement, no, you have 13 seconds on woodworm starting now.
I remember a question in the National Geographical Magazine of the United States of America in which a reader had written in to ask, is it true that woodworms land backwards? To which the answer was...
Clement, will we never know the answer?
Shall I tell you? Because yes. It really is quite nice. The questioner had said, is it true that woodworms jump backwards? And the answer was, a woodworm is a small, black, hard-backed, conically shaped insect which in projection lands facing the direction of takeoff.
was hardly
and
worth
underneath
it,
somebody had written, yes is the word you're searching for.
Clement, you've increased your lead at the end of that round by getting that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and it's your turn to begin, and the subject is cheques. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Cheques can be people who come from Czechoslovakia. Alternatively, they're bits of paper on which you order the bank to pay the recipient such sum of money as you have decided to inscribe on the place provided, always remembering to have put the date in the top right-hand corner and your signature wherever the particular organization which keeps your money instructs you to place that. The normal...
Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. There are 32 seconds for checks with you, Peter, starting now.
Checks are also a type of design often used in textiles and probably done better in Scotland than anywhere else, where they make the material into kilts, which they wear with great aplomb. Now, if you make a square, like a piece of crossword puzzle, and you put ink...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
No, it wasn't enough for a hesitation. Peter, you keep the subject, and there are 13 seconds on Czech, starting now.
Well, these people who come from Czechoslovakia are more interesting in a way, partly because the name of the country occupies about 2 seconds of the time that I'm devoting to this subject. And they...
Well, Peter Jones kept going to the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's gone one ahead of Clement Freud now into the lead. He's 3 ahead of Derek Nimmo and quite a few ahead of Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, there's a great sympathy for you in the audience, Kenneth. And would you begin the next round? The subject, woodwind. Would you tell us something on that subject in just a minute, starting now?
Wind can, of course, occur anywhere, but a musician will say that in the wood it can produce the finest sounds that are known to the human ear. Now, the oboe is particularly pleasant. What can be more delightful than to hear one of these pieces of Mozart's played on that lovely instrument? It has a sort of mellifluous quality which floats o'er your ear like the sweet south that breathes, as the poet has it, upon a bank of violets. And indeed, woodwind has been traditionally associated with the lyrical and the rejoicing nature of sound. And that is something...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of sound.
Yes, there was a lot of sound. And,
There generally is with woodwind. It's the whole point of it, isn't it?
And with Kenneth Williams. But you kept going for 49 seconds. Bad luck, Kenneth.
Oh, it's all his trick. He only comes in at the end. That's all he does. He comes in at the end. That's the score. So he's interested. I just play the game. I mean, I'm interested in score.
No, he was fairly generous, Kenneth. He let the word ear go by before.
Oh, ear. Yeah.
There are 11 seconds on woodwind, Peter, starting now.
Well, you can make a woodwind instrument out of practically anything as long as it's wood.
Derek Nimmo, Chuck.
I came rather too soon.
Yes, I'm afraid you did. So Peter Jones has another point, and there are 6 seconds on woodwind starting now.
Even puffing air into a barrel, providing you have a number of holes on the other side, and you can...
So Peter Jones has increased his lead at the end of that round, and Derek Nimmo is going to begin the next round, and the subject is jogging, something we've heard a lot about recently, but will you talk about it in just a minute, Derek, starting now?
I am terribly enthusiastic about jogging. I get up every morning round about 5:45, scrub myself down, sluice myself around, then put on my tracksuit and my plimsolls, and out I go into the road to start jogging. Along the pathways and roads and streets of Kensington, I jog. There I meet chums coming towards me, similarly attired, breathing heavily against the frosty air, and as I jog away towards them...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I beg your pardon, I've challenged quite wrongly. I was in error.
I'm sorry?
I was in error.
Oh, you were in error. What a funny thing to say. It was the idea, by the way, of Derry getting up and sluicing himself before he goes out for a jog. Most people go for a jog and then come back and sluice themselves down.
It has nothing to do with you, how I go about my jog.
I don't believe a word.
Why don't you mind your own business? Let him jog how he likes.
34 seconds are left, Eric, on jogging, starting now.
I often find myself jogging my own memory with little tiny tricks that I play to myself. And I do find very fascinating that when I go...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of myself.
Yes, I'm afraid so. There are 25 seconds left for jogging. It's with you now, Peter, starting now.
Well, it can be terribly dangerous, and I don't advise anybody to indulge in it. I think it's much wiser to stay in bed and have a drink. If you feel at all unwell, a drop of scotch, perhaps, served on a...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was just a hesitation there.
Well, there was
there
a hesitation.
Well, you have to decide whether it was a long enough pause for a hesitation. I've decided it was on this occasion. Clement, you have 11 seconds to take over the subject of jogging, starting now.
I don't actually jog. I get all my exercise visiting friends of mine who have indulged in jogging and are now in hospitals. And they tend to be in wards on the third and fourth floors.
Freud got the point for speaking as the whistle went. He has moved a little further towards Peter Jones, but hasn't caught him up. And I've just realised that we're coming to the end of our time, so let me now give you the final score. Kenneth Williams, though he contributed tremendously to the show, didn't get very many points. And he finished in fourth place. Derek Nimmo contributed his usual good value to our contest, and he finished up with a lot of points. He was three behind Clement Freud, and he was three behind this week's winner, who was Peter Jones. Have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again when once more we take the air and we play this delightful game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.